Let's start by trying to understand the this according to Rambam. So if you remember yesterday, we were dealing with the question of how much each tree needs to produce between 3 and 9, and then 10. The Rambam's position on this is really quite unclear. I'm going to say the Chazon Ish has a very long piece on it, which I find wholly non-compelling. So I'm going to leave that. But if you want to read something that's about as long as the Mari Kirkus, then you can read the Chazon Ish's treatment as well. Okay, so let's turn to the Rambam though. And for those of you who really try the Mari Kirkus, I'm very impressed with you. Okay, let's look at the Rambam. Okay. You know, let's start from the beginning of the Perek. I'll read just the beginning of the Perek. It'll just bring us, you know, up to where we need to be, okay? So Perek Gimel, the Rambam writes, Avodat ha'aretz b'shana shishit shloshim yom samach l'shvi'id asura ha'lacha l'moshe mitinai mibnei shihi mitakna l'shvi'id. 30 days before Shemitah, it is forbidden halacha l'moshe mitinai to work the field because it prepares for Shemitah, which of course, right, assumes Rabbi Shmuel also thinks about preparation, right, which, you know, is against the way Rav Moshe understands it, that's the Machlok Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Kiva, but okay. V'davar zeh bizman shebeit hamikdash kayam, hu she'nasar mipi ha'shmua. This was true when the Beit HaMikdash stood. V'gazru chachamim shel yicharshim sadeh ha'ilan erashiv bizman ha'mikdash ela ha'ratzer sadeh ha'lavan ad ha'pesach. And the Dirabanan expansions were that a sadeh lavan, right, a produce field, you could only work until Pesach, and a Seilan, an orchard, until Shavuot. And then, when there is no Beit HaMikdash, then it's Mutar until Rosh Hashanah. So, Ezui Seilan, what is an orchard? 3 trees per Beit Echad Ilan Srak, Echad Ilan Ma'achal. Whether it produces fruit or does not. Even if it's owned by 3 people, we view them as if they are figs. If they can produce 60 mana, so then you can plow the entire field for them. As long as there's a space for the ox and its tools to walk through. Okay? Yes? Good. Haya pachot mishlosha ve'tzah, shloshah ve'achad, ra'uy la'asot shishim, no, sorry. So next halacha, let's read Gimel and Dalet more carefully. Based on the first halacha, do we know how he paskins, like the Ravid, that it's total, or the Rosh, whether it's per tree, 16? No, we don't know yet. Not yet. Halacha Gimel. Hayu pachot mishlosha ve'tzah, if there were less than 3 per beitzah, there were 3, by echad ra'uy la'asot shishim mana, yeter, and one can produce 60 or more, v'ashnayim einin ru'yin la'asot, and the 2 others cannot produce, o'shnayim ru'yin la'asot, afilu mea mana, or 2 that could produce 100 mana, v'echad eino, that one does not produce, ein charshin lo'en el esarchan, v'lomo miloha orev isalo chutzalo. Then you can only work, you can only plow the tree and that which is surrounding it, the size of the basket and the person holding the basket. So what do you think? Do you know yet? So, okay, we can make diukim. Let's read halacha dalet as well. Hayu mi shlosha v'ad tisha, between 3 and 9, u'yin la'asot shishim mana, and they can make 60. Chorshin kol beitah v'shvilan, afa pi sheyesh bahem mashein ra'uy la'asot, even if among them they have something that cannot produce. Okay, so what does the Rambam hold? Anyone know? Anyone have any idea? Who does he hold like? What? Well, you tell me. Prove it. Like I said, the Rambam is very complicated. That's what I told you.
He doesn't need all 3 of them to produce 60 because it says from 3 and 9, which includes 3, even if there isn't.
Okay. So what does it need to produce? It doesn't need to produce at all. It doesn't need to produce a certain amount.
No, it doesn't need to produce anything. It doesn't need to produce anything at all. depends on how you view it.
Well, what does he say? I didn't hear what he says. We've seen many positions. What does he say? What? Okay, good. So you say he can't make it all. What's the problem? So what? Therefore, then what does? How does he view our Yerushalmi? Simple shot. Does he quote anything about the Yerushalmi?
No.
Right? Which means, right, the simple pshat in the Rambam is that he rejects the Yerushalmi Lalacha and he just accepts the Mishnah. Right? And therefore, what does he think Ra'ui Lasot means? Right? Not at all. Right? And therefore, does he allow... So what does it sound like that he thinks that what? If you have a minimum number of trees, and they produce 60 total, so it doesn't matter if they produce, the rest, right? It could be one that produces the 60, and the rest? Not at all. That's what it sounds like in Dalit, right? What's the problem? It doesn't sound like that in Halacha Gimel, right? Because in Halacha Gimel, it sounds like he needs all the trees to produce something, right? Because he says that even if two of them make 100, but one doesn't, then you can't. And so Halacha Gimel sounds like he needs all to produce, but Halacha Dalit sounds like he doesn't need them all to produce. It only matters on total, right? That's the problem, right? Then Halacha Dalit, it sounds like all he cares about is total. And Halacha Gimel, he says, in addition to total, each tree needs to produce. Right? Right? You see the problem? Right? It's just not clear what the Rambam wants.
So it's
got to
be like, I think a weird
inflation. Well, okay, good. So this is exactly what everyone tries to figure out. So as you can see, the Mari Kurkas deals with it at length. The Radbaz deals with it a bit. And the Beit Yosef and the Ketzav Mishnah, Rabbi Yosef Karo deals with it. So let's just, since we have a Rambam, right, let's just go through the people on the page here. Okay. So Ketzav Mishnah is the Ketzav Mishnah. On the right-hand side, who is he? Just look at the page. Who is he? Come on. Who is the Ketzav Mishnah? Who wrote the Ketzav Mishnah, Kobe? Thank you. Rabbi Yosef Karo. I saw you Googling it, but that's fine. This is you. It's like he is type, look at this computer. That's fine. Now you'll remember it better. He's Yosef Karo, also known as the person who wrote Shulchan Aruch. Yes, very good. Okay, good. Now, very good. Okay. And you went to what? You went to Shulchan spot? Yeah, there you go. Okay, who's the Radbaz? David Ben Zimra. David Ben Zimra. He's from what country? Well, he's from, let's see, Kobe, he is...
Italy, France.
I don't know what you're doing when you're not Googling sources, but when you're Googling sources, I'm fine with it, yeah. Why don't you say this so people can hear you?
I said that, in Spain.
And then he goes to Egypt, he spent most of his life in Egypt.
For other reasons, he left the land of Israel at 831 and 32 and traveled to Guantanamo,
North Africa, right?
Morocco.
Morocco, so he went, he's what, Spain, wait, Spain, Israel, Morocco. Okay. David Ben Zimra, good. And then Mari Kurkas. Who's the Mari Kurkas? Or the Re Kurkas?
Yaakov.
Israel. Should we going to keep guessing?
Yeah.
Should we keep going? That's fine.
Wait, am I not going to guess?
What? No, I'm just like, what names did you say?
Yaakov,
Yosef,
Israel.
He's Yosef, right?
Yosef
Korkos. Yosef Korkos.
Do you
have
Arabic here?
Yes. Oh, you have it, Mordechai? Good. Where's the Re Korkos from?
France, Italy, Spain, Egypt, Morocco, Germany.
Australia, outer space, Mars, the moon. Very good. Okay, good. Fine. So let's try to figure out what he wants. Okay, so what does the Rambam mean? So, look at this. So let's try the Mari Kurkas. Okay, because Mari Kurkas tries a lot of attempts. And I, like I said, I will give a special shout-out here to Kobe and Josh, who and Mordechai, who then joined them, who really, really, really tried the entire time on the Mari Kurkas, which is very impressive. I know some people tried and then gave up, but you never gave up, and I'm very impressed. If anyone else didn't give up, you can let me know. So if you look at Mari Kirkus, so first of all, he quotes the Ravid, okay? Right? Remind me what the Ravid says. The Ravid says that all that matters is? Total.
Yeah.
Right? Right? Total. And then how does he understand the, but then he quotes the Yerushalmi, and then how does he understand it?
It produces
its share. Correct.
What is he calling Rabbeinu?
What?
The Rambam? Hey, he's using Rabbeinu Shankar.
Yeah, Rabbeinu is the Rambam. Yeah, of course. Okay, so look at Al-Khadalit here. So just skip down two lines from the bottom, just because after he finishes quoting the Ravid. Fine. Perish Divrei Harav Avraham Zal. Right, so the Ravid says, "Shematfich sheilanot yasu kol echad lo pachot mechelak anogea im yichalku ashishim ana ben osim." Right, you need total 60 divided equally. Kishim shlosha tzarech kol echad lo pachot meesrim ana. So if it's 3, each must produce 20. V'zem mishulashin v'imem arba lo pachot mechetvav. If it's 4, 15, ya etc. V'chen al zaderech atzed v'rabibi diber b'shiur hamuad v'zer b'shiur hara. Aval, Rabbeinu nir'en yilishona. So what does the Rambam hold? Shigam bishlosha lo hitzrich shiyase kol echad lo pachot mishlish. Rak shiyu kulam osim. Afilu she'echad yase derech mashal arba'im. Ushnayim asara asara nikres tidei ilan. So what's his first possibility? That the Rambam holds. You need two factors, 60 total, and
minimum of three trees.
That's the Mishnah, and each of those trees must produce a minimum of something, anything. Right? Possibility one is remember is the Rambam holds 60 total, of which three trees each produce something, not their fair share. Something. What was the logic? We raised this as a possibility. What's the logic to that? What's the logic to saying you need a minimum of 3 trees, of which they produce 60 total, and each produces something? Doesn't matter how much. Correct. That what you need is an orchard of productive trees, right? The 60 defines the productivity of the orchard, and producing something, anything, defines this as a productive tree and not a dead tree. Right? Right? The tree needs to count. Does it need to produce its fair share according to this Shita?
No.
Right? He says, right there, but he says, 40, 10, and 10 is fine. Nikres de deilan, umol achruz kol beitza bishvilan, velo nitmaet ela kishachad ino ose klal. Very good. So what does the Mari Kirkus seem to be saying? That what is the Rambam doing? Paskening like the Mishnah against the simple pshat of the Mishnah against what? Against Yerushalmi. I mean, Yerushalmi provides minimums, but what does the Mishnah say, simply? It needs to be oset. And therefore, we said in the Mishnah, a very distinct possibility is that they need to produce something, not proportional, just something. Right? As long as they all produce, even if it's not proportional, in thirds, kevan shebein chulam osim shishim mana, chashivim v'starfim kulam yachad v'korachin kol beitza b'shvilan. V'chein nireh da'ato gam b'perish ha-mishnah v'echtov l'shano b'samuch. And he says, I think this is the pshat of the Rambam and the perish ha-mishnayot as well. Now, this is one of the perish ha-mishnayot is very complicated here as well, partially because there's slightly different girsot between the version that we have in the standard one and the kapach. But I really don't want to get we're already getting bogged down in it. I don't want to get even more bogged down in it. But suffice it to say that he's influenced by the way he understands the Perush HaMishnah. Right? And he says, "Upshat Loshana Mishnah Kein Nireh." And he says, this is the simplest shot in the Mishnah. Shalom Yatob Loshana Mishnah Ela Kisha Eino Sin. Because the Mishnah doesn't say how much. It just says they have to not be not osin. Right? They can't be non-osin. Eino Sin. Right? The Aval Pishin Loshana Mishnah Nireh Matresh Gam Betetshu Kulan Osin. And he says, in his Perush HaMishnayot, the way that Mari Kirkus understands it is that this requirement that they all produce applies to all nine. All nine. What's the logic for that? Right, we said that's problematic. Why is that problematic? Right, why should you say that if you have nine trees, you need all nine to produce something?
Because if that's going to give three, that should be good.
Right, so why does it make, right, so we said that doesn't seem to make sense.
Yeah.
Right? That's why the Makor Kid doesn't like it. But he thinks that the Rambam and the Beit Mishnayot seem to say that all nine needs to produce. Why? Why would you say that all nine need to produce? Why? If I had eight trees and they were all producing and I was allowed to plant, I was allowed to plow rather, then why would adding another tree which does not produce, why would that mess it up? Right, so, what? So either you say, well, look, in the end of the day, it's there, and now what can you do? Or you say that, and now they look at it and say, oh, there's one dying. Or you say that, look, now that's claimed its space, and it's non-producing, or something like that. Right? You have to do something like that. So but the Marie Kurgis doesn't like it. He says, and he says, why do I think that's what the Rambam says? Because the language he had in the Beit Mishnayot was, between 3 and 9, between 3 and 9, you can't plant unless they all produce fruit. Plus they get 60 total. He says, even though that's what it sounds like, he doesn't agree. So how does he understand the Rambam? Remember we said there's a seeming contradiction between Halacha Gimel and Halacha Dalet. In Halacha Gimel, it sounds like he needs all of them to produce. In Halacha Dalet, it says that some of them don't need to produce at all. So what's the Mari Korkis' preferred Peirush at this point?
They need to produce.
If? No. He said, if there are three, they need to produce. And once there are more than three, then you need three that are producing, and the rest don't have to produce at all. So the Rari Korkadis understands the Rambam as follows. He says, the Rambam, again, the first position of the Rari Korkadis is that he acknowledges that the simple pshat in the Perush Mishnayot is that all of them need to produce, even if you have more than three, right? But he doesn't like it. And his preferred first Perush is, if there are three trees according to the Rambam, then what's the halacha? All of them need to produce a total of 60, and each individually must produce how much?
It's enough.
Any, no.
I like it. Yeah.
No, not its fair share. Anything. Right? And if there are 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, or 9 trees, then what does the Rambam hold?
Three.
All nine together need to produce 60. Three of them must produce something, and the other six can do whatever they want. Right? Yes, what's the logic? What's the Mari Kurgis logic? It needs total 60 to be defined as an orchard. An orchard defined as three trees that are productive, and therefore three of them need to produce. After that, if the rest of them don't produce, who cares? So pretend they don't exist. You would still have an orchard of three. Exactly. And therefore, it doesn't matter. After that, 4, 5, 6, pretend they don't exist. Who cares?
And would the same thing be as if you had 4 trees and they produced a base and then...
Yeah. Yeah. And if it was 4, also fine. He doesn't seem to have a minimum of how much the trees have produced. Right? So 4 of 15 would be fine. 4 of which one produces 55 and the other each produce, right? I don't know why I did that. 1 2/3, right? Whatever. I don't know why I picked that of all examples, but fine. That would also be fine, right? So what's the logic? Since you have 3 that make 60, if the rest don't produce, who cares? Just pretend they're not here. What? Because they're there, now it's worse? No. Vadaya dat notain, it's logical to say, it's not worse. Ha'ikar hu, what's the point? Shabain ha'ilanot ha'osim, that amongst the trees that do produce, yikaveh kikar shishishim mana, they need to produce 60, v'lo yeh pachod mishlosha, and not less than 3, and even if you needed all 9 to produce, that's fine also. And if only some of them produce, and the rest don't, pretend the rest don't exist. And plow for those that do exist. Right? And when the Mishnah says they all must produce, it doesn't mean it literally. That if all of them produce, and together you get 60, you might have thought, what was your Havamina? The only thing the Mishnah is coming to tell you is that you might have thought that you need three that produce 60 only amongst those three. Kamashmala, no. If you have three that produce 60, that's fine. If you have nine and you need all nine to produce 60, that's also fine. Right? Good? Okay. So that's the first shot of the Rambam according to Mari Korkis. That, I think, personally, on a logical level, to me, is the most logical of all possible positions. Whether it's what the Rambam says, but it makes a lot of sense. Again, it's against the Yerushalmi, right? But in the Mishnah, this is, I think, the smoothest read, right? Which is, total of 60, a minimum of three trees that produce something, right? No proportionality is required. Once I have three trees that produce something, and together, amongst all the trees between 3 and 9, they produce 60, that's enough, right? Because I need two factors. 60 total, which defines the orchard as a producing orchard, and three trees that produce something, because then an orchard can't be made of one tree, so it needs three trees, and what defines something as a tree is producing something, anything. Or even less, more precisely, the potential to produce anything, right? Like the Kabinian on Strach, right? Yes? Good. Then the Mari Korkis. Do you get farther than this in Mari Korkis, Josh? Okay, so now Me'ata, so once he's established that, he challenges who?
The Rosh.
Right? Why? So let's summarize this outside. He said, what's the problem with the Rosh? The Rosh says what? Remind me what the Rosh says. That it needs, each of them needs, no, the Rosh Mishan. Each needs to produce 60. What's the logical problem with this, with the Rosh? The Rosh implies that you need 60 for each tree, whether you have three trees, four trees, five trees, six trees, seven trees, eight trees, or nine trees. What's the logical problem that the Mari Korkis says? Come on, you read it. But even if you didn't read it, what's his problem? Yeah! And it each of them needs to produce 60 individually, right? According to the Rosh, it's not about an orchard. What is it?
It's about a tree.
A tree is defined as that which produces 60, right? And once I have three of those, then it's an orchard. So he says, okay, so I have three trees that produce 60 and one that produces 59. Well, according to the simple chart of the Rosh, what can I now, what's the halacha? You cannot do anything, right? Because it implies that every tree that's there must produce 60, even if I have three that produce 60. And he says, Amai! I don't understand. He said, so pretend the other six that don't have 60. Right? He's saying, if you have three trees that produce 60 each, and six trees that produce 59 each, so pretend the six that produce 59 don't exist. You don't like them? Ignore them. Right? But why would that be worse? Right?
Same question they had before.
Yes. And he's saying, according to Rosh, it's even worse. That's insane. So how does he try to defend the Rosh? Okay, so he says it can't be. He says the only thing that you can say is that that limitation only applies to the first three. Right? He just says it's impossible. Right? It must be that even the Rosh, who says each needs to be 60, that's only for the first three trees. But after that, he'll agree that you could just pretend they don't exist. Okay? And he says the Rosh says the same thing. Fine. Okay? Skip down to the end of the paragraph, right? Basically, he doesn't like the implication of the Rosh. So what does he do with it? pretends it doesn't exist, right? Right? Yes, meaning that's what he thinks you should do to the trees, and that's what he thinks you should do to the Peirush of the Rosh, right? Which is pretend that the implications of the Rosh don't exist, right? Yes, good. Okay, so that's what he says all the way until the end of this paragraph.
We only have one big paragraph in our report.
No, you don't. Slightly. It's...
Here's like bold one. And this one is slightly different, but Adayin. Rash.
About the same place. Va'adayin, he says, okay, but all of this assumes, according to the Rash and the Rambam, what does he assume? That do they accept the Yerushalmi?
No.
No, they go straight like the Mishnah, because according to the Yerushalmi, there is a minimum. According to the Rambam and the Rash, as he understands them, there is not. Right? So now he says, okay, Va'adayin Zareif Lefareis Yerushalmi. So how do you understand the Yerushalmi? Right? So he says, the Rosh and the Rush, how do they explain the Yerushalmi? Remind me, we saw it yesterday.
They say that's only when it's 10.
Very good. The Rosh and the Rush say it's very simple. The only time that there's a minimum, which is not 60, is when you have 10. And then they need to produce Mishul Hashim or Metushaim, right? So 10 of 20 or 10 of 6 and 2/3, right? That's the next thing he writes. And then he says, according to the Ravid, how does he understand the Yerushalmi? Remind me. That each one needs to produce its fair share, right? We saw that. However, he argues that even according to the Ravid, what would happen? Remember, he has one conceptual thing, that is once you have enough trees to count as an orchard, having other non-productive trees can never hurt it. And therefore, he insists that even according to the Ravid, if there are three trees that each produce 20 and then a fourth tree that doesn't, what does he think the Ravid's going to hold?
According to him? The Ravid should be.
Correct. That you can produce, right? Because his consistent svara is that once you have enough trees that produce, whatever you count producing as, right? Whether according to the Rambam in the Mishnah it means three that produce 60 between them, whether or not they're proportional, or according to the Ravid, three that produce proportionally. Once you have three that each produce 20, if I have a fourth tree that produces 10, according to him, the Ravid must say it's okay because it produces 60 total and three that are proportional. It's amalgamated, but even according to the Ravid that says that it's amalgamated, but each needs to produce its fair share, that's only for the first three. Because once you have any trees that produce proportionally, similarly, according to him, if I had four trees that produced 15 and one that produced less than 15, would it be fine according to the Ravid? Yes, because then what would I do? Pretend that the fifth tree didn't exist, and the four would each need to produce proportionally, and how much do they produce? 15, right? Again, if I had five that produced 12 and a sixth one that didn't, pretend the sixth one doesn't exist. Right? He's very consistent, right? So the Rambam, each of them needs to produce something, and the Ravid says each of them needs to produce proportional to what they would be with the other trees that are producing that amount, right?
So according to him, there's only four ways to understand this, right?
Yes.
Three can do 60.
And therefore he says if you skip all the way down, so now that's how we understand the Ravid. Okay? Good? So now skip down to about halfway through the second column. But now he gets fancy. And he says, okay, we've explained the Rambam within the Mishnah. We've explained the Ravid within the Mishnah and the Yerushalmi. We've explained the Rash within the Mishnah and the Yerushalmi. What do we still have to do? Explain the Rambam within the confines of the Yerushalmi. What's the simplest shot of the relationship of the Rambam to the Yerushalmi? He rejects the Yerushalmi. Right? That's the simplest shot. Yes?
Yeah.
Now he gets fancy. And the last piece here, he says, Uladat Rabbeinu Nireh, Sheperish Yerushalmi Kahu. But how does the Rambam understand the Yerushalmi? The Ravibi boy Shafil Shehilanot Haim Tish'ah Hashishim mana tzarich sheitabet mir hashlosha. He says, aha, I know how to make the Yerushalmi work with the Rambam. How?
Rejection.
No. How can he make the Rambam accept the Yerushalmi? Until now, we've assumed he rejected it. Now he wants to get fancy. So do you remember, how did he resolve the seeming contradiction between Halacha Gimel and Halacha Daled in the Rambam? Come on. I know this is hard.
He said that
if you have three, then what? They each need to produce something. And after that, they don't have to produce anything. So now he says, you know what the Rambam and the Rambam reads the Yerushalmi? Is a slight modification on that, which is, the Rambam might hold that according to Rabibi, the first three, not only do they all need to produce, but they all need to produce?
60.
Yes, 60. But how?
Individually.
No. Proportionally. Meaning, the Rambam holds that the first three need to produce not 60 total, each of which produce something, but 20 each. And after that, the rest can produce nothing. Right? But it's not that the first three have to produce 60 total. Is the first three need to produce 60 total with a proportional production of 20 each? Because since the minimum for an orchard is 60, and the minimum number of trees that will produce it is 3. Therefore, we know that the minimum that defines an orchard is 3 of 20. And that's what Rabibi is saying. So he says, with the Rambam understands Yerushalmi, according to Rabibi, right, you need 3 that each produce 20, that to total produce 60, and then the other 6 can produce nothing. Shafil in Oden Tisha, Shishim HaZakhavet Me'a Shlosha, Vavashim Mishul Hashim. But according to him, can you get the 60 from the total? No. It must be from 3. And if you can't produce 60 from 3, afil yishit kabez me arba ohei. So according to him, mishulashin means that the 60 must be produced of 3. Oh, I'm sorry. No. I did that again. No. His shot in Yerushalmi is that until now, what do we assume the Yerushalmi means? I take that back. Until now, everyone we've seen the Yerushalmi focuses on the individual production of the tree. And he says, no. Sorry.
You take it as the entire orchard.
No.
You take it as three trees.
Correct. It's the amalgamation of the minimum number of trees that would make up an orchard. That's how he thinks the Rambam reads it. Because think about it. Right? How does he understand the Yerushalmi? How does he understand the Rambam? And the Rambam in Halacha Gimel said what? Trees need to all produce something, total of 60. And after that, they need to produce nothing. How does he get that out of Yerushalmi? He thinks the Rambam is really poskening like Rabibi. But how does he understand Mushulashin? Not like everybody until now. Everyone until now assumed that Rabibi and Zera each think that in addition to a total requirement, they each have a requirement of how much each individual tree must produce. He says you misunderstand the word Mishulashin. Mishulashin doesn't mean that each needs to produce a third. What does it mean? It means that the 60 must be produced by a set of 3.
And after that you can pick and choose.
And therefore he only cares about totals. He's saying the Rambam doesn't care about, he never cares about the individual production. He cares about the amalgamation, but not the amalgamation of 9 according to Rabibi, but an amalgamation of a set of 3. Because since 3 is the minimum, it must be that there are 3 that together would produce 60 in whatever configuration you want. So what you need is a minimum amongst the 9 of 3 that between them all produce a minimum of anything, but total will produce a minimum of 60. How's that for Mishul Hashin? Right, he says Mishul Hashin is not a minimum of thirds. It's that the 60 must be produced by a minimum of 3. And then now tell me, how is he going to understand Zeira?
He says that it's a minimum of 9 trees.
No, that the amalgamation can be done through all 9. Meaning Rabibi thinks that... Yeah, no, not equally. Right, he thinks that equal, right? Until now, we've assumed, everyone has assumed, Mishulashim et Tushayin mean proportional production. He says, that's not how the Rambam read Yerushalmi. Right? Because until now, what have we assumed? That the Rambam must have rejected the Yerushalmi in favor of the Mishnah, because we assumed that Yerushalmi, when it said Mishulashim et Tushayin, meant that each must produce proportionally. Right? He says, no. This is the machloket. Is no one thinks that there's a minimum for how much the tree to produce. Everyone agrees that the only thing that matters is total. What's the machloket Rabibi and Zeira? That Zeira thinks that the only thing that matters is what? Total. That's the only thing that matters, ever. Total. And therefore, you need to get to 60. I don't care how many trees it takes, up to 9. And I don't care how it's divided. Right? Zeira says the only thing that matters is 60. There is no relevance to how much each tree produces. Zero. The only thing that matters is total. And how does he understand Rabibi? That the only thing that matters is total, but that total must be produced by any three trees.
Then why?
Any three trees. You mean a minimum of three trees to produce something, which total produce 60. That's a very fancy construct, right? Why would you say that conceptually? What's the logic?
Why? Because otherwise you would say that in a case where there's more than three, then it would be the same thing.
Right, exactly. He's saying since the minimum, or right, Rabibi's logic, since the minimum orchard is three, that means I must be able to point to an orchard of three that is productive to trigger this halacha. Rav Zeira says I could have a, right, I could reach the 60 with 3 or with 5 or with 9. And Rav Bibi says, no, I need 3. Because since that's the minimum size, that's what defines an orchard, is 3 productive trees that together produce 60 total.
And if I try to, like, change how much each of those 3 trees...
But if no 3 trees combined can ever get me to 60, that means I don't have an orchard. Right? That's his logic for Rav Bibi.
It's important that it be combined equally, otherwise it becomes...
No, he doesn't need equal. He doesn't, no. He thinks Mishulashin doesn't mean third. He means that the total must be produced among three. Not equally, correct. Right? This is the chiddush of the Marikorkes at this date. Right? The Marikorkes chiddush is, how do you understand the Yerushalmi? Is that we've misunderstood it. Mishulashin doesn't mean thirds. It means 60 produced by three. Not proportionally. No, that's Zeira according to him. That Zeira holds, it's total. Metushain means that the 60 must be produced by all of them together, doesn't matter how many there are. And Rabibi says, no, you must identify 3 amongst the 9 that produce 60. What? That's fine. As long as 3 of them can produce 60. Well, what his argument is that, look, because a minimum would be 3, if I have a bunch of non-such productive trees, it doesn't help. I need somehow to be able to construct an orchard of 3.
There aren't any 3 such trees. There could be any 3 trees.
Correct.
All
as long, correct. But if all of them produce 10, then none of them together, right? No 3 that you pick could produce 60. That's the problem. That it must be among 3.
So the only difference between them really is that
it has to be from 3 in any configuration. Any of those, yes. Okay. And then he has one more possibility, but this one he thinks is dachok. If after old lichok, I could force myself to come up with yet one more pshat, right? Which is to say that, no, Kobe's right. No one ever said that. Rabibi thinks you need 60 total. Right? He says his last shot is that what? Rabibi thinks you only need 60 total. And what does Zeira think? That you need 60 total, of which 3 of them don't produce less than 6 2/3. You need 60 total, of which 3 of them produce 6 2/3. Meaning, you can't have one which produces 52 and the other 8 producing 1. You need 60 total, of which 2 three produce a minimum of 6 2/3, and somehow you get to 60 with the rest. That's Zaira. So Rav Bibi thinks that it's only about total, and Zaira thinks it's about three, which produces a minimum of 6 2/3, plus a total of 60. Is a ninth of 60. Right? Okay? And if that's the case, then according to that shot, Rav Bibi holds that all you care about is totals, and therefore who does the Rambam hold like? Rav Bibi. Right? So we start off by saying that the Rambam understands that Yerushalmi goes against the Mishnah, and he postulates like the Mishnah against the Yerushalmi, which is that you need 60 total, of which three produce anything. But his final possibility is that that's what Rav Bibi means. Right? That Mishulashin means exactly that. Is that you just need three that produce, that together produce 60, that's all you need. It doesn't matter. Right?
I think I understand why he said it.
Okay? Whew. There you go. Wow. That was hard. Yes, I told you it was hard. I told you the Rambam was hard. Just, I don't think we're going to get farther in the Yerushalmi, but if you look, you'll see that the Kesef Mishnah and the Radbaz both have yet other interpretations of the Rambam. I will tell you outside. Okay? I'll just get the key. I'll get the key line for you. Okay, so if you look at the Kesef Mishnah halfway through, he says, "Oh, how does the Rambam understand the Yerushalmi?" So he also says that what does Rav Bibi say? Look, okay? He says, what does it mean, Mishulashin? Which is that no matter how many trees you have between 3 and 9, they must only produce 60, which is the amount that was required when you had 3. That's what he thinks the words Mishulashin mean. And therefore, again, according to him, who does the Rambam hold like? Rav Bibi. And Zaira says, yet another possibility. Ready for another possibility? He says, what does Zaira say? No. You need that every three trees produce 60. Metushain means you need three sets of three, i.e. 180.
And what about like 7 and 8? 1 and 4 and 5.
What?
What about 4, 5, 7, 8? What do you do in 4, 5, 7?
I don't know. Figure it out. Right? But he says, when you have 9, what you need is that all 9 each justify their existence. Because, as we said, right, it could be, if you think about how you relate to it, if you have 3 alive and 6 dead, right, it wouldn't help. And according to him, how does it define it? It's, now, according to Zaira, do you need any proportionality in an individual tree? No. What do you need proportionality of? Every set of 3. You understand it? I told you. This Yerushalmi is very complicated and very deceptive. What? Right? Meaning you don't need any tree to be proportional, but you need every unit of 3 to be proportional, meaning 3 units of 60. However you come up with it within the unit of 3.
So that doesn't necessarily have to be 9.
No, correct. Right. And there's no proportionality requirement per tree. There's right? There's proportionality by every 3 tree units.
So the way you would read that is that it's meaning like 9 trees
would need 180.
That's more toxic than the second end.
Oh, 100%. It's insane. It's insane. What? And Rav Bibi, according to that, is what the Rambam holds. Right? Which is that you just need, that all he's saying, Mishulashin means that no matter how many trees you have, you only need the amount of produce that you would have needed if there were only 3 trees. That's what Mishulashin means. Therefore, right, so both the Kesef Mishnah and the Mari Krukis, what do they end up holding? That Rav Bibi and Zaira, do they say anything about the proportionality of individual trees?
No.
No, they're in different ways talking about the total.
Like each portion.
Correct. That Rav Bibi is saying you need, no matter how many trees you have up to 9, you only need the total of that which you would have required if you had 3, i.e. 60. And Zaira is arguing, no, what you need is
60 from
each set. Exactly. 60 from each set of 3. The Radbaz has yet another shot. in it. As you can see, the Radbaz is also long. Let's see. Get the line. Yes. I'm just going to tell you outside. He says, I have yet one more shot. You want one more shot?
Sure.
He says, the Yerushalmi has nothing to do with amounts at all. Right, so far we've assumed that the Yerushalmi had to do with individuals. Then we have the Ketzer Mishnah and the Mari Korkus say, according to the Rambam, the Yerushalmi is about totals. Right? He says, no. The Yerushalmi has nothing to do with total at all. You know what it means? It's about spacing. Mishulashin does not mean thirds. It means placed at equally in the field. Right? That's what it means. They're not talking about produce. They're talking about whether they're spaced equally at a third of the distance in the field.
Or if they could even be spread out.
Exactly. There you go. So Radbaz says you totally misunderstood it. Okay? Good. I told you the Rambam was hard, but now you have like 58 different models of what is going on in it. I was going to say that we should try to run through, but I think probably we should just give up now. Yes? Good? So let's just summarize what we've seen, right? Within the Rambam, what we've seen is, right? First of all, the possibility that he rejected the Yerushalmi and just accepted the Mishnah, which means that you needed total of which three of them produced. That's all you need, right? But if you understand, unlike everyone we've seen until now, that Mishulashin and Mishushain aren't about proportionality of the trees, so then you could say, either, according to the Ketzer Mishnah, Mishulashin means that, no, that the total needs to produce the amount that a set of three would have needed to produce, i.e. 60, right, of which three of them produce, and that's what the Rambam read in Yerushalmi and every possible Agravibi. And Zaira thinks that, no, Mishushain means that you need units of three, i.e. 180. According to Mari Korkus, first shot, right, seems to reject the Yerushalmi in favor of the Mishnah, right, which is three, each of which produce. But then he says, right, a few other possibilities, which is, no, maybe this is how the Rambam understood the Yerushalmi. How could it be that? Right, so he had two possibilities. The first one is that the Rabibi thinks that among three of them you must have proportionality, right? Not proportionality. You need three of them to produce 60 among them. And Zaira says it could be amongst all nine. According to that sheet, who does he paskin like?
Rabibi.
No, Zaira.
Oh.
Right, because remember, the Rambam doesn't require any tree to be proportional. So according to that, he paskins like Zaira, that you need total, right? So what you have is, the Ketzer Mishnah says that he paskins like Rabibi. The first day, and Mari Korkus says he paskins like Zaira, because Rabibi requires proportionality amongst three, not proportionality, requires that the produce of the nine be produced from only three, whereas Zaira says it could be total, right? And therefore, he paskins like Zaira. His second possibility is, that Rabibi holds you need 60 even when it's 90. And Zaira adds that you need among the three, there must be three that produce 6 2/3, right? Okay, and then there's Radbaz who says, no, the reason the Rambam doesn't seem to care about the Yerushalmi is because the Yerushalmi is about spacing, right? And not about quantity, and if it's about spacing and not quantity, it's about spacing and not quantity, then it's completely irrelevant to our discussion at all. Okay, I think everyone is in agreement that that was very hard. You guys wanted to try it. We've now tried a very hard Rambam. We will not continue in the Yerushalmi today because you all look burnt out, which is fair. No, you're denying it. You're not burnt out. So I am impressed you all tried. No? You want to spend a few minutes and try to just do a few more lines in Yerushalmi, or you're done? No. Okay, that's what I said. Okay, good. Go ahead, guys.